Hello and welcome back to Sofa Sense Sage. You're joined by me, Kavan. And if you were here last week, you know who our guest is this week. It is Chris Davis. He is a PhD student at the University of Leicester studying all things to do with boxing, masculinity, social class, gender, and inclusion, exclusion. Wow, did you hear my words right there? I just excluded a couple words out of my mouth there, but never mind. We'll keep it moving. It is a great piece of research, and he is getting stuck into gyms in Leicester and understanding how they work. So if you want to get a behind-the-scenes look at the details in gyms, make sure you check out part one with Chris. Really appreciate his time. It's a fascinating one, so make sure you check it out. But if you're here, you've seen the title, you know what this is about, because we've got seven signature questions here on the network, and we ask all of our guests regardless of the show. It could be Cool, Fine, Done, Wicked. It could be Before Our Friends Die, or it could be this show right now, Sofa Senseis. And if it is Sofa Senseis, we've got one special question that we ask all of our guests. Number one, what would be your ring walk tune, Chris?
Oh, okay. Great question. Okay. I would actually choose, just to get the crowd a little bit hyped, ODB. Baby, yeah, you got my money, don't you worry. Hey, yeah. Hey.
Yeah. Okay. And what I would say is that's incredibly important. Yeah, because I was at boxing last night. And some of the people's selections, they were personal selections. I don't know what it was. Maybe it was between them and their girl, whatever. Nah, yeah. It weren't it. I was not rooting for them. But when people come out to big bangers, yeah, it worked.
So I just want the viewers, make sure, go well after this this point, go out and listen to it. And trust me, you'll feel the energy. And you can just imagine me just walking out. If you catch him,
quick question: are you hopping over the ropes, or are you going under?
Oof!
You back junior or no?
I'll give it a go. Yeah, I'll try a little
hop and
princess
over
the top.
There you go. Yeah. Okay, who is the richest person in your phone book, Chris?
Wow. Okay, richest person.
Straight in, deep end.
Person, do you count?
mate, I got no money. Don't worry about that.
So I haven't really got many rich people. Let me have a look.
By the way, while he's looking, if anyone wants to sponsor the podcast and make me the richest person in Chris's phone book, please do email akiandselfish@gmail.com and I will be in touch. It's a great proposition for you.
I don't know about rich, but big shout out to my cousin, who's a comedian, actually. Okay. A London comedian. He's doing his bit.
Was he a Fringe?
Yeah. Well, I'm not sure, but he does work a lot of the big shows.
Wicked.
So, yeah.
Love that. I mean, listen, could you imagine if we could get a comedian on the show? So if you want to do us a little link up, I'd love that. I'll leave that one there.
See what I can do.
Yeah, appreciate it.
See what I can do.
Who has the most potential that you know, Chris?
Most potential? Yeah. Okay. As in boxing?
Up to you, mate. It could be boxing, could be life, could be academia.
Okay. That's a great question. Let me think. Wow, you really put me on the spot here.
These questions are tough, you know. These questions are really tough.
They are. Okay, so potential. I'd like to say, actually, my little nephew, he's actually 6 years old and he's started to box. And if you see his hands, he can hit. So big shout out to Dylan, you know, my little nephew. And he can actually... You can throw some hands, to be fair. So watch out for him, Dylan Davis.
We will keep tabs on him and his amateur career. Yeah. And when he's ready, in 12 years, he can jump on the pod and we can discuss his uncle's impact and his upcoming professional journey. Looking forward to it.
World champ.
There we go.
World champ, by the way. Yeah.
Easy work. Who is the most influential person you know?
Okay, I would say that he goes by the name of Trevor McGregor, and this guy is a cousin of mine. Well, my dad's cousin, so I'm second cousin. And if you listen to the part one last week, I mentioned this guy was the one who was a positive role model. He was the one that taught me, well, told me to get into kind of education and to stay clear of, you know, the trades and do something that I enjoy. And that actually gave me kind of hope, I guess. You know, so his pieces of advice that's kind of got me to where I am today. So big up, yeah, Trevor McGregor. Yeah.
Love that. And it goes to show that as people, when we interact with each other, we can have such a huge impact on the trajectory of other people's lives. Just as cliche as it sounds, be kind, compassionate, and encouraging. Chris,
Amen.
you know this question because I alluded to it in part one. And if you haven't heard part one, make sure you go back in the archives and check it out. It will be linked below too. You are at your best when you are. Fill in the blank.
I'm at my best when I have a clear mind and I have, well, I have been sticking to a routine. So when I'm in a routine, I've got a clear mind, then I feel like I can achieve anything that I want to.
Do you have any methods of creating that clear mind? How do you get to that stage?
Again, I do a lot of kind of meditation in spare time. I try and do a little bit of yoga as well.
Nice.
But yeah, just try and even just going for a walk and just, you know, putting down the phone, putting down the tablet, and just being comfortable within yourself. Just yeah, just go for a walk and just switch off. I know it's easier said than done, but
It's majorly important though, because I can
yeah.
imagine, I can only imagine, by the way, you know, the fact that you're doing a PhD. And what I do know is that when you do sociology, you develop this thing called a sociological lens, and
Yes.
that impacts the way you see every part of your world. So I'm imagining, you know, you'll be just strolling through Leicester and you might even see a boxing poster and you think, oh,
Yeah.
it's interesting the way they position that, and it impacts everything you see and the way they describe, you know, Fight Night, Fury number four, or something, you know, whatever they like to call these
Yeah,
things. And
for sure. And that kind of sociological lens is a gift and a curse at the same time, because in a way, that is something that I need to kind of switch off. That's what I'm pretty much talking about. But also, it helps me kind of understand the world. You know, again, in part one, we spoke about, you know, this Fury and Joshua and how the public's kind of taken to them. So little bits of like me just analysing certain things. I'd like to switch off from that, but also it's helpful to understand the world and understand, you know, how the world may see me and how, again, I see the world.
So in
Yeah.
part one, we spoke about your journey, and it was a journey. You know, there's things that you did that you no longer do, and things that you developed along the way, and that was really, really fascinating and really revealing. If you could tell us one thing that you never regret doing, now this could be one thing that you've done that you're never going to regret, or it could be one thing that you do regularly that you never regret once you've done it.
One thing that I'd never regret doing.
Yeah, so for instance, some of my previous guests have spoken about they never regret going to the gym. Doesn't matter how bad their day is, if they just get themselves in the gym, they don't regret it because they feel better after. Other people have spoken about never regretting buying a terrible house and renovating it because despite the stresses, despite the adversity, it was a springboard that they could benefit from later on down the line.
Okay, so again, great questions. I think, well, this kind of it goes against what I'm kind of preaching, what I'm kind of, I guess, studying as well. Because at times I do like to, you know, let my hair down and, you know, maybe go out with my mates and, you know, have a few drinks. I say a few drinks, maybe a lot of drinks. And sometimes, yeah, he goes against, me finding a routine, switching off, and, staying healthy, staying with the boxing, living, a clean life. So, having kind of drinks with your mates, yeah, I can't really regret any of these kind of. That's a bad answer. I just realized that's a poor answer, isn't
But
it?
that's fine though. I mean, because life is about yin and yang, balance. We can't be all of one thing, I believe anyway. There has to be levels of contradictions in all of us. Otherwise, if there are no contradictions in you, please go ahead and be prime minister. And let's fit,
Yes,
because
sir.
there's contradictions in all of us. So I wouldn't hold yourself to such a
So yeah, so these kind of you might want to go on a weekend bender or whatever, and you think, okay, after you think, oh, why did I do that?
Yeah,
I need
for
to
real,
get
for
back
real.
into the gym. And
Broken.
but as I've kind of matured, I thought, I think I should actually, I've got to enjoy life as well. And so that I don't really, before I used to regret, going out, getting smashed with my mates and being up to no good and whatnot. But yeah, at this age now, it's a case of it is what it is, and go and have fun, go out there and drink till you're falling over. I don't know.
For real, for real. I've had a few of those drink till you're falling over moments, and currently I'm on a sober year. Yeah, so what we're in now,
Oh, well,
September, so we've done 8 months. Yeah,
yeah.
aiming for the year. And it's very interesting. I was out last night and I'm fresh as a daisy. You know what I'm saying? If anything, I was a little bit tired when I woke up, but definitely not hungover. It was just a matter of the thing is though, I started seeing things with a different lens, and the idea that actually some of the things that I viewed as fun were fun because I was drunk. Whereas being sober, it's a little like, for example, one of the most sort of novel examples is yesterday was really hot, and I wouldn't have cared about being hot if I was smashed, because I would have been focused on, well, I don't know, standing up or whatever I would have been doing. But while being bone sober, all I can think about is I'm hot. I hope I don't stink. Yeah, my brain is moving real logical, and I'm meant to be enjoying. So there's real moments of reflection of how I would have been versus how I am now, and again, what I want versus James Clear, one of my most influential people. He wrote in his book around every act is a vote for the type of person you want to be. Now that can be quite restraining at times, because of course we all stray from who we want to be from time to time. But I think as a general rule of guidance, if generally you are moving in the direction of the type of person you want to be, even if you are not them yet, that is really, really that's the best we can do. And I think as humans, we can sort of hold ourselves to some,
That's powerful. That's powerful.
take it forward. Right, last two questions actually. So, where do you see yourself? This is a classic interview question, so I'm sure you've got an answer for this in the back pocket somewhere. Where do you see yourself in 5 years?
5 years. Again, I'm trying to take things one step at a time. So hopefully, fingers crossed, I can finish this PhD. So yeah, have a PhD under my belt. I want to kind of get into the career of teaching. So at the moment, I'm a GTA. So I'd like to, yeah, try and become, an official lecturer. And so work-wise, yeah, within academia. Health-wise, I'd like to continue being active, continue being healthy. Yeah, remaining within boxing, and just. Yeah, happiness, I guess. Being happy. In 5 years' time, as long as I'm happy, healthy, and well, yeah, they're the main things, to be honest, happy and healthy.
Agreed. How old are you, by the way, Chris?
I'm very good. It's rare that I'm actually not at least okay, but yeah, I'm very good. Happy to, be on this podcast. Happy to. Yeah, be at the stage where I'm at now in terms of work, in terms of fitness, health, my routine. Like I said, was it your question? The second question, routine was it's important for
Yeah,
me.
yeah, yeah.
So, and that's going good. And when that's going good, I'm feeling good. Mental health is great because of the routine, and physical health, again, same again. So yeah,
And you know what? It's really important, that physical health piece, because you know you hear about it a lot. People are 40, 50 getting in shape. Now, ideally, if you can stay in shape, and now obviously that, you know, there's a bit of ableism in what I've just said there. You know, obviously that is not the possibility for all people, but if you can, it pays real dividends as you get older. And that brings me to my final question: advice you now would give to yourself 10 years ago, knowing all you know now, what would you tell the you from 10 years ago?
Okay, so I'll tell myself to be open to listening to advice. Because at the time, 10 years ago, I kind of thought that I knew it all, I'd imagine. And I'd hear people out, but I wouldn't actually, you know, deep what people are saying. Okay, so, you know, a good piece of advice is, you know, it's a form of wisdom that you know, some people may have experienced themselves, and I could actually use that. So actually, just listen more. And also believe in myself again, because again, going back to part one again, a lot of my earlier years, I didn't really believe in myself. So if I did have that, who knows where I could be right now.
Well, so it's very interesting, because reflecting on that skill of listening, if you hadn't developed that over the last 10 years, I suppose, you probably wouldn't do an effective ethnography, because why would you need to go to the gym? You can already figure out how all these different parts of our identities interact, but now you develop that skill over time, it's probably made you a better ethnographer than you otherwise would have been. So, you know, I think when we talk about being hard on ourselves and, you know, not giving ourselves enough credit, from our conversations, you've knocked down a serious amount of barriers. I've only got an undergraduate degree, because as soon as I finish that, I says, not again. I'm not getting a master's. I don't want that space. But to hear your stories, it's been really, really inspiring. So I appreciate your time. That has been Sofa Sensei's. I think for me personally, these have been some of the most fascinating episodes of Sofa Sensei's we've ever had. So make sure you go back to the archives, check out part one. It's linked down below in the description as well. I am Kavan. This is the Aki and Saltfish Digital Network. If you want to get in touch with us, you can email akiandsaltfish@gmail.com, as well as check us out on social media, Aki and Saltfish, Sofa Sensei's on Instagram, as well as Aki and Saltfish on Twitter and TikTok. So make sure you check it out. Subscribe, like, comment, all those great things. It really, really means a lot. Please do share this with a friend. And Chris, your social media will be linked down below. You shared it in part one. I won't ask you to do it again. It'll be linked down below in the description, so make sure you check him out and follow his journey too, because he is going to go places. And I'm pretty sure we're going to get a part two in where we unpick some of the conversations, but maybe we won't put it on Sofa Sensei's this time. We might put it on Before Our Friends Die. So make sure you check out that, where Chris will be the only guest to feature on two shows on the Aki and Saltfish Digital Network. That's a special Hall of Fame right there. It's been fantastic. Thank you so much. Take care. And goodbye.